It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Boom. Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome to the show. I spent this last weekend down in southern Arizona. And, of course, when I'm down there, I keep an eye on what's going on when it comes to the border situation. I was relatively close to the border. And I have to tell you, yet again, the same miserable failure, not by account of the Border Patrol officers, but because of how they are told to do their job. There were countless Border Patrol, 40 and 50 miles north of the border, looking for those who have run across the border, jumped the border. Now, I've said it before. Here's really how I see it. Remember the story about the boy that saw the leaking hole in the dike and he put his finger right in the hole to stop the leak from getting worse and the dike cracking and poosh, all the water coming to flood the little village. Imagine if that little boy instead had made the decision to go downriver, downstream, and try to collect all of the water into a bucket and then run it back up to the dike and pitch it back into the levee, into the reservoir, rather. And that was his technique. It wouldn't have worked. What about this? If you have a basketball, right? And your basketball has a leak in it. Do you try to patch the basketball? Do you try to catch all of the air after it escapes and then find a way to put it back into the ball? Or do you find where it's leaking and plug it at the hole? You ever had like a tire plug done or had to patch the tire? You don't try to get a device that captures the air and somehow filters it back in. No, you go to the hole and you stop it. You plug it. Well, evidently, those who make the decisions on how Border Patrol is to do their job like the idea of trying to capture the air sometime after it's leaked from the tire and then try to filter it back in without actually plugging the hole. 40 and 50 miles north of the border is where there was a tremendous number of Border Patrol agents trying to capture people after they've already entered into the country. How stupid is that? Well, what it does is it serves the agenda. Again, just last week, Janet Napolitano, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, former governor of Arizona, turncoat Arizonan, might I add, saying the border's never been more secure than it is now. What a total sham. What a total lie. Again, every single time anybody from the government, especially the federal government, opens their mouths, it is full of lies. They absolutely do not have the ability to tell the truth. It escapes them. Even the idea, nobody even thinks to say, in this case, to Napolitano, we'll use her as the example from last week. You know, Secretary, how about we just tell the truth? Nobody in Washington even has it in them to suggest that, let alone actually do it. The only thing that's more secure now at the border than anything else is securing the American citizens who want to come back in. You don't just need an ID anymore. You have to have a passport or a passport card. The passport card is only good for overland to our two neighboring overland, physically attached, neighboring countries, Canada and Mexico. Other than that, you need an actual passport. Can you imagine being an American? You go down to Mexico. which is for you don't need to show any ID to walk in. But you got to show all kinds of ID to walk back. So they say, you don't have the right credentials. We can't let you back into your own country. Then what? What do? Do you go pay find a Mexican mule and pay them to sneak you back into your own country? Once you're there, you're okay. You've got your ID. How stupid is this? The thing is the people in government, the administration, the regime, if you will, has no interest in actually securing the border. No interest whatsoever. You got violence, drugs, and social anchors screaming across the border from Mexico into America. The vast majority of the people coming across are Mexican because it's coming from Mexico, but not all. A lot of others that would like to get into the United States go to Mexico first, then sneak in. And it ain't that tough. It's not that tough at all. Especially when Border Patrol is tens of miles north of the border, dozens of miles north of the border, looking for you there. Are you kidding me? Really, are you kidding me? No, you're not kidding me. Great. Thanks, guys. And when you tell me the border is more secure now than it's ever been before, you're rewriting the definition of secure. Once that definition of secure has been rewritten, then you go and you use it in a sentence. Secure. Definition of secure. That which is porous, unmanned, undefined, and ill-equipped for any sense of actual security. Secure. Great. Okay. Now that I have that definition, I'm going to go make a speech. The border's more secure. That's my new definition. Than it's ever been before in the past. You know, the only time it was less secure is when there were no fences whatsoever, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. That's when it was less secure. So I refer to the Obama administration as a regime. Now, oftentimes, every administration is referred to as a regime by the opposite party. I refer to the Obama regime as a regime itself because it truly is. We still don't have Obama's eligibility handled. Hasn't been handled. We don't know anything about this guy. Nothing from his college transcripts, the whole birth certificate thing, which I don't care. I don't really care where he's born. All I know is his father was a British subject when Obama was born. So he was born into dual citizenship at very least, British and American, which does not suffice the definition of natural-born citizen, as has been provided by courts of the past. Therefore, it truly is a regime, meaning everything done by the Obama regime, every executive order, both Supreme Court appointments, every bill signed into law, is null and void when it really comes out. Stay tuned, guys. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Hey, welcome back from the break. You know, I just find this to be interesting. That today in history, three different events I want to talk about. Today, back in 1964, was the 9.2 magnitude earthquake that hit Prince William Sound, Alaska. And then, 25 years later, Three Mile Island in Middleton, Pennsylvania, in 1979. Of course, we're dealing with the aftermath some, about what, 2.5 weeks in with the 9.0 earthquake and the corresponding nuclear disaster and tsunami, of course, in Japan, northern Japan. So, difficult times going on, just similar dates here. Just wanted to throw that out. How about this? March 28th, 1774. Really, one of the important pieces of the puzzle which led to the Revolutionary War. Now, we all know of the Boston Tea Party. That is where the good town folk of Boston and the British-controlled American colonies decided to throw the Boston Tea Party. They were really ticked off about the tea tax, you know, the taxation without representation by British Parliament from the East India Company. So what they did was they went to the docks and grabbed all of the tea that was on the docks from the East India Company and poured it into the Boston Harbor, calling it the Boston Tea Party. Well, on this date, back in 1774, Britain passed the Coercive Act against Massachusetts. Now, the Coercive Acts, there were four, also known as the Intolerable Acts. They were a series of four different measures passed by the British Parliament. Again, it was to retaliate, really, for incidents like the Boston Tea Party, but also to implement kind of a more vigorous policy in the American colonies of really trying to hold a brother down, if you will. The Boston Port Act, enacted in response to the Tea Party, closed the harbor to all shipping until the town had compensated the East India Company for the destruction of its tea and assured the king of their future loyalty there in Massachusetts. And of course, the Massachusetts Government Act deprived Massachusetts of its charter and the right to choose its own magistrates. It wouldn't be a right then, it'd be a privilege. The Act for the Impartial Administration of Justice provided that English colonial officials indicted for murder in Massachusetts should be tried in England, and finally taking them away from their peers. And then finally, the Quartering Act allowed the housing of troops in any town in Massachusetts. That act alone led to the Third Amendment to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, stating, "No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law." So that act, the Quartering Act, led to directly to the Third Amendment being written some, 15, 20 years later. So there we go with that. Now, this whole deal with taxation without representation and being completely besieged by the government, something that we would never tolerate here in this country. Would you agree? We'd never tolerate it. Well, I have to tell you something, folks. The government has given its own authorization to these sorts of things. They already have, through very subtle bills that have not gotten any public attention. The major media networks have not brought the attention to them at all. And this has been going on since about 2003. Some big ones are 2005, 6, 7, 8, and 9 under the new regime. So much to the point where they've actually created shadow courts, which don't have any regular courtroom, don't have a big jury or, you know, big pew-looking seats for people to sit in. It's essentially a quiet little judge who sits in a federal office building. They've created this very specific type of court to allow the federal agencies to be able to act under these new laws if they have to get some sort of a court order. They go directly to this brand new court that the legislative branch created and the executive branch authorized to keep it out of the hands of the other courts. How about that? If you want to know more about this, I just finally finished the book by Judge Andrew Napolitano called Lies the Government Told You. It is an extreme wake-up call. Extreme wake-up call. I highly recommend it. I listen to it on audiobook. You can go online and order it. Amazon has it. I'm sure you can get it from a variety of sources. And you can download it as well. Highly recommended. I listened to that on my drive down to Southern Arizona and back. That'll really wake you up. That'll really wake you up. Back to the area in New England. We're talking about the coercive acts or intolerable acts in Massachusetts. There is a new thing going on as well. In New Hampshire, I shouldn't even really call it new. It's just really starting to come about. So it's time to talk about it. It is called the Free State Project. And you can look at it by going to freestateproject.org. And what's happened is, basically, we're going to talk about libertarians. Libertarians are really, the government shouldn't be regulating anything. And we shouldn't be having to listen to the government. We just want to be free and do our thing, as long as our thing doesn't harm anybody else. And that's the way we should all live. Let's regulate ourselves individually and by community. Okay? If everybody is like-minded, that don't tell me what I can and can't do, and I won't do anything that harms anybody else. That's really the idea of the Libertarian Party, which is interesting because, you know, one of the really hot-button issues for the last 40 years, nearly, has been abortion, which I... You know, you can feel however you want on it. My point is this. They ask everybody in the world who's a politician how they feel about it. Well, it doesn't really matter. There's only really two types of people that it matters to. One is a Supreme Court justice or prospective Supreme Court justice, because they're the only ones that have the power authority to change it, to overturn Roe v. Wade. And the other person would be the President of the United States, who could be in a position to nominate new justices to the Supreme Court. Other than that, it's the way it is with law. It doesn't really matter. Anyhow, the Libertarian Party, it's interesting. They describe it thusly, that about 48% of them are pro-choice, and about 48% of them are pro-life, and the other 2% are either somewhat undecided or, you know, sometimes they feel this way in a situation, sometimes they feel another way in a situation. So, anyhow, that being aside, what the Free State Project is with all libertarians is to do their very best. They decided to look into, okay, where's there a state where we can try to get 20,000 libertarians to move in, active libertarians or libertarian-minded people, to try to get a single state under the guise of the Liberty Movement. So they took a poll at about 10 states. They wanted to find one with about 1 million people. What they chose was New Hampshire. So for the last few years, you've had libertarians moving in and moving in and moving in, and they've had a lot of wonderful things that have happened in New Hampshire law-wise. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back, a little bit about what this whole Free State Project is. And if you have an interest in it, keep in mind New Hampshire's a very small, physically small, and population small state. So they're able to do a lot of things. Pretty interesting stuff. During the break, check out freestateproject.org, and I'll talk about it when we get back from the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. So we were talking about the Free State Project, which is where you're looking to get a bunch of people who are libertarian-minded, and actively so, to move to what they decided years ago was the state of New Hampshire, to try to effect change and make that the one state where you can actually live liberty-minded. Now, the folks that are from and lived in New Hampshire their entire lives are basically being overrun by these folks who are moving in. However, New Hampshire was one of the states they picked. They wanted somewhere around 1 million people. I think it's about 1.2 million in New Hampshire. And it's already had a bunch of very conservative laws on the books. There's no sales tax. There's no state income tax. They have a very, very low unemployment percentage, which is, I think it is... like under 6%, 5% maybe, where the rest of the country is around 10. Second in the nation is the most tax-friendly state to businesses. One of the top 10 business-friendly environments. It's physically small, so people can move around and do things and they can meet. And it's not like, you know, also under a million people was Alaska and Wyoming, which are physically, obviously, large states, especially Alaska. New Hampshire, physically much smaller. Very good schools. Interesting thing about the state law when it comes to budgets in certain cities and towns. The entire population has the opportunity to participate. They, you know, put up seats and say the high school gymnasium, everybody shows up, and everyone gets to vote line item on the annual budget for that city or town. How about that? You don't have to wear seatbelts. Does that sound all right? What about, and here's it. They're also looking for to pass the medical marijuana law so people can't tell you what you can and cannot put in your body. All right? It's passed the House already. It needs to go to the Senate. One of the best, it's been voted by Money Magazine, one of the best places to live in the United States for many years. All sorts of outdoorsy sort of things to do, so not just a great political environment and better to come, but a great family environment as well. Now, I've never been to New Hampshire. The closest I've been is Connecticut, right next door, I believe. But it sounds very interesting. Very interesting. Again, no general income tax, no general sales tax, lowest tax percentage of gross income in the entire continental U.S. The only one better is Alaska. The property rights in New Hampshire, they've ruled that eminent domain cannot be used to take private property for private economic development. It would have to be for specific public use. And that is in a, it's in the Constitution. It's been, it was amendment back in, I think, 2006. They also have some of the least restrictive gun laws in the state. It's an open carry state. It is a shall issue state. And they're in the process of pushing a concealed carry law, the constitutional carry. So, how about that? That is the Free State Project. You can go to freestateproject.org. They feel that right now they're already making a lot of positive changes with just the couple of thousand people that have moved to New Hampshire. They're trying to get 20,000. They believe that they can affect change with 20,000 active libertarian-minded people. Active. Because so many people are not active. So many citizens choose not to vote, not be active, not really care. You get 20,000 people who are active, and that can change, literally. Now, not quite 2% of the entire population of the state, of 1.2 million. They believe that 20,000 can actually affect a libertarian-type change. Now, how cool is that? I think they put a dozen, maybe 13, libertarian-minded folks into the state assembly just this last term, and all kinds of great things are happening. All right. Oh, by the way, it's also New Hampshire's passed legislation forbidding the Real ID Act. So, you can get the idea of where things are going. You can always check that at freestateproject.org. I like the idea. A lot of folks have signed up to actually move there. When they get 20,000 people that have said, I'm going to move there, by the time they get 20,000, what they're looking for is the people that say, I'll move there. They're putting that in there as in, once they get the number of 20,000, everyone who put their name in will relocate within 5 years. So that gives you an opportunity to go there, check things out, look around, find a job, or arrange to move your business. Again, very business friendly. And each year they do a thing called Pork Fest, P-O-R-C-F-E-S-T, pork, which is short for porcupine. Porcupine is an animal that doesn't bother anybody. But if you mess with it, you're going to be in a world of hurt. So that's why they have adopted the porcupine for the Free State Project. That's their mascot. So, hey, just leave me alone. Everything's fine. If you don't leave me alone, you're going to get jabbed. You know, it's at your own peril. So it's the perfect animal for that. And what they do is they have this big festival called Pork Fest. This year's going to be June 20 through June 26. And they're going to have the Free State Project whole environment going on for a week. They're going to have activities, concerts, kids games, speaker panels, go hiking. There's going to be trips to the shooting range, bonfires, all sorts of fun, cool, family-oriented type of stuff. A lot of news and information on the state itself. As I understand, some sort of different trips and things you can take and look around different areas of the state. So kind of a neat summertime family sort of a thing that you can go to Pork Fest. Again, you can go to freestateproject.org. They're not a sponsor of the show. I have, you know, no real reason to even speak about this except for it's good information. They're not a sponsor of the show. I've spoken to nobody specifically with the Free State Project. It just seems really cool. It seems like one of those deals where if New Hampshire becomes that Free State, all the way, really, honestly, God, becomes that Free State, becomes a libertarian-controlled state, and they have libertarian-minded people that they are electing into Congress that hopefully will be able to affect some change both in the House and the Senate, that will be a model for people to look at. It'll be an absolute model. And I have to tell you, the idea to actually do this is a very, very bold idea. Very bold indeed. Where you have to get a group of people that want to affect change, because oftentimes libertarians are so outnumbered, they can't do anything. So they decided, why don't we get everybody and congregate in one spot? So they came up with 10 states and looked at them. And again, they decided on New Hampshire for many reasons. One of the ones that I like, there's a lot that are there, but one of the ones in particular that I like is it's physically a small state. So if you want to get a bunch of people together, you don't have to drive too far. I think to get from the furthest northern tip of the state to the furthest southern tip of the state, I think it's about an hour and a half drive or something. It's not big. 1.2 million people. It's small. It's small town community. I think, what is the biggest city in Providence is Rhode Island. What is the biggest city there? I don't even know. Anyhow, check it out. Freestateproject.org. It's pretty interesting. I'll be right back after the break, guys. Stay tuned. There's plenty more to come.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on! I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
And welcome back from the break, everyone. I'm going to let you know kind of the latest project that I'm working on. And I'm actually going to try to elicit some help from somebody out there that might be able to help me out with something. I have secured a website by the name of gunweb.org. So gunweb.org is mine. I was going to do gunweb.com, but one of those people that secure names and then they sell them off to the highest bidder has that, and they want a minimum of $12,500 for that big flying bird in your direction to that. Great for entrepreneurs, but kind of a scuzzy way. Anyhow, gunweb.org. I have already filmed a project which will be put up there. My idea with gunweb.org is to offer different video DVD series that I have planned. The first one already has the main filming done. We're in editing now. As well as the different training that I'll be offering, the target stands I have developed and have all CAD designed. I just need to actually get the final prototype made and start getting these things produced. Again, all capital needed to be done. But here's the thing. I need to design the website. I actually have a template that I downloaded and I was going to start working on. The thing is, I'm really not that savvy. I'm hoping to find somebody that would be kind enough to help out and get this website designed. Now, I don't have a bunch of capital to pay anybody for the website design because it's tied up in the first project, which I'll talk about in a moment. So anybody that's willing to work out some sort of a bartering sort of a deal to put together this website, once it's put up, I can do the vast majority of the management and only need somebody if we're going to like add a complete new page or something. I can do the majority of that, but would need a little bit of help here and there. Not a bunch. Again, I manage all of my own sites now, but this one's going to be a little bit more fluid. With that being said, the very first project, which was filmed last month, in fact, it was the How to Clean Your Precision Rifle, the Precision Rifle Cleaning Guide DVD. Now, as it turns out, a guy that is a friend of mine, also very involved in the freedom movement, Oath Keepers types of things and such as that, is a professional videographer. He's a professional Hollywood cameraman of sorts. You've seen his work on television. You've seen his work in some big movies. This guy is good. He's known in the industry. He owns his own boom setup. He has like an entire shipping container full of all of his own gear, two different vans that he uses to haul all his stuff around. He hires himself and his gear and stuff out. This guy is really the deal. And we set up, I have a very large living room at my house, so we actually set that up as the studio. I have some pretty neat track lighting. Of course, he brought in all of his own stuff. And we filmed How to Clean Your Precision Rifle. You know, your sniper rifle, your coveted bolt-action hunting rifle, your, I don't know, your bench rest rifle, something like that. How to clean this thing. So we filmed all that. We've got all the A-roll done. We might need to do a little bit of B-roll stuff on the range showing a couple of things. But the first about quarter of it has been edited. And it's good. It's real good. And we're going to put this thing together, order up however many DVDs we're going to do. We might start with 500 or maybe 1,000. Put these things up at gunweb.org and try to get them in the hands of other places, some of the other major retailers that would sell these things either online or in their actual stores. And there's some other video ideas that we're looking at doing a series of, shooting and training related DVD series. Certainly wouldn't be the first one into the market, but we have a couple of ideas to set ourselves apart. Kind of a niche, if you will, a little higher end, marketing deal with this. Of course, I'm not going to just let that out on the air, but what I am looking for is somebody that could help me either straight up design a website or take the one that I like the main format of and help me get that thing together. Somebody with some sort of experience that is willing to deal on a barter system, at least for the time being, until we get things up and going. This entire recession that we're in has certainly hit a lot of people hard. I'm not immune to it by any means. But trying to get this thing going. So it'll be good for the shooting industry as a whole, and certainly try to get some other people really learning about how to properly defend yourself, how to take care of your gear, where to go to stay in tune with what's going on with Second Amendment rights and other things as well. So it's kind of a big project. And I'm looking to have this entire site put together so that it is definitely expandable. You know, add a couple extra buttons, add a couple extra pages when there's new things coming on. I don't want anything too incredibly busy. I know a guy that's actually got a site that's like a gear-related site, and it's a beautiful site. But I was looking at it just today, and I was looking specifically for some boots. And rather than having, like, you know, I was looking at a specific manufacturer for some boots. And rather than having, you know, the six different type of boots that they carry, and then you go onto the page and you select the size, he had like 18 pages because each boot in each different size had its own little picture and link. You know, if you like this boot and you're anywhere from a size 7.5 to a size 12.5, you had all of those boots in full and half sizes basically on their own page, and you got to scroll through it and find the right one. I don't want a thing like that. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to click on here to find videos. Okay, what kind of videos is going to be? Okay, it's going to be for cleaning, it's going to be for training, it's going to be rifles, it's going to be hanging. You know, you go through like a lot of websites do. So that sort of thing. That's what I'm looking for. Looking for a little bit of help with that. If anybody has any ideas on that, or if you're able to help yourself, please send me an email. bill@2aradio.com. And we can chat about it. If I do get somebody involved, I'm going to have to, you know, present you with a non-disclosure agreement because of the kind of unique way about we're going to be going about things. Some of the information you'll be privy to if you're actually helping put this thing together. So just understand that. That's just the way things go. And it's unfortunate because there's attorneys in this world, and the attorneys really make the rules now, which sucks. All things with liability and non-disclosure and all that other garbage. We get to thank the attorneys for this incredibly litigious society that we live in now. Anyhow, on that same site, that's where I'm going to put on the stand that I have developed that I am calling the X stand. And it is, I've chatted about it in the past. Not much really in the past, probably about 8 or 10 months. I haven't talked about it much, but I have designed a portable stand that goes with an entire portable system to where if you want to go out to the range or just out in the boonies and shoot and you want to set up a stand and targets and stuff, you're not going to need to use or borrow a truck, a pickup, or an SUV to go out and do it. Everything will essentially fit in a large duffel bag. You can throw it in the back of your car, and as long as your car will make it to where you shoot, set up and you're good to go. So the stand is the primary part of this system that I'm putting together. So you'll be intrigued to see that once it comes out. The stand is the main part. The whole shooting system with the targets, I have targets designed, the uprights, the stand, everything. And here's the cool thing about this particular stand, I got to tell you. It has a lot of different features, one of which, if you're going to line up several of them, let's say that you're an instructor and you have a traveling road show and you want to set up maybe 10, 20 targets, the normal distance between targets for just a standard square range sort of class is 1 meter on center. These stands interlock together at exactly 1 meter on center. So you don't need to measure a bunch of stuff out. You just take these things out, unfold them, put them together, bam, they're done. Not quite like Legos or Build-A-Block or something, but once I get these done and get them up on the site, you will see. We'll have a little video demonstration, some cool things going on with that. So I could use some help with the website. So, again, if you can help or you know somebody who can, put them in touch with me. bill@2aradio.com is the website. And I appreciate all of you, each and every one of you, that tunes in each and every day, listens to the show. You're Second Amendment-minded, you're freedom-minded, and just, guys, thank you. That's really why I come in here and sit down to spread the word. It's for folks like you. And thanks again. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com.